You're listening to Comedy Central.
Welcome to episode 30 of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal 30? Vanity Project. What the fuck was that?
What are you doing?
30.
What, we're supposed to just 30. Like go along with this nonsense?
30.
What are you doing?
30.
Erica's like, I'm not a big enough part of the show. I need to get in it right away.
It's not me. It's the 30th episode, so I typed in 30 to the Comedy Central Library.
30.
And got a bunch of kids saying 30.
And once 30. Again, and did you listen to this ahead of time?
And you thought that now was the time to just start playing around?
Because he said episode
30.
I mean, you could have waited till maybe after the intro. Welcome to episode 30 of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
We don't talk about Pittsburgh sports teams because they all suck.
Truth be told, I'm a be fine because I make my money at the line. Shooting 90%.
See, now would be a good time to just, like, drop those things in right afterwards.
Pirates are doing well. Pirates are 5 or 6 games over 500.
Yeah, it was more a comment on the Penguins, which I know not many of our listeners probably are too tuned into, but your NHL franchise took a dirt nap.
Yeah, so. We've gotten swept in the first round in quite some time. I didn't get to enjoy any of it. It's been a bit of a bummer. But, you know, we just won 2 cups a couple years ago. I'm all right with it. And the Pirates are going to win the World Series this year. I guarantee it. Okay. They're going to spend money.
I want to hear it. I mean, I feel like now it's in my head that I'm being too mean to Erica because some Twitter follower thought I exhibited some, like, misogynistic behavior trying to keep Erica, like, in a corner.
No, we got a full email about it.
Oh, okay.
What, like, during the podcast?
Yeah. Just, like, in general.
Yeah, on social,
like,
media.
Just Greg, you know, like, he compared me to being just, like, the female voice that we need, like, you know, don't want, blah, blah, blah. So we got a lengthy email from a male saying that, you know, Greg was a piece of shit.
And it was all about Greg. It was, like, Anthony.
Yeah, it really was all about me. And my, like, immediate defenses to it, like, were the types of things that abusers say. Like, oh, that's just the dynamics of our relationship. You don't understand.
Yeah. I mean, it's working funny. At the NFL Network, you know all about abuse. So, yeah, I would, you know, trust Greg's opinion on this. Did you feel like it was, like, a mansplaining type email?
No, it was emailing against Greg for almost mansplaining. It was very nice.
Was it written to you or, like, to Greg?
It was to me, but also basically saying, like, it was all about fuck you, Greg.
Okay. I can get behind that. What was his name? You want to give him a shout out?
Yeah, let me look it up. I think I forwarded it to you, right, Greg?
We just start the Erica's Corner right away.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Oh, Michael B.
Michael B. All right. We've given Michael B enough
I've very much
publicity.
Enjoyed your podcast, save for Greg's toxic masculinity.
Right. I mean, when you think toxic masculinity, you think me.
Yeah. I mean, neither one of those words really applies to Greg.
It's like one of the nicest things anyone's ever said about me.
Yeah, that must have been tongue-in-cheek. That must have been pretty...
I don't know. Erica was allowed to speak on the podcast, and then you called her involved
it got
in a
pretty
cliche.
In-depth.
His fragile male ego fell under threat from several other comedy podcasts having female involvement in some type of secondary or ancillary role. Erica's an independent, vibrant, and sexually liberated woman who is above Greg's anti-woman #whataboutme patriarchal worshipping agenda. So I say shame on Greg.
I get it, Erica. You wrote that.
No, I can't spell ancillary. You know.
Everybody have a good week?
What do you say? I mean, this is enough about Erica and I. This is your week. I mean, the date is getting closer.
Fire in the Maternity Ward. Fire in the Maternity Ward on Netflix, April 30th. The trailer dropped last week. Got a lot of good response to the trailer. I'm very excited for the special to come out and just end comedy. Mm. Like, no one will be able to perform anymore after that. It's just like, you can either watch this or you can go home.
It's just like you and Netflix. The net.
No, the net will be gone. The net's going to be gone. It'll just be me.
Canceled.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are you feeling like a buildup? Like, as we're taping this, Robert Mays of The Ringer, who's a writer for that great website who does an NFL podcast there, is watching us do this podcast because he's writing a feature about you. I talked to him earlier today. I think he's talking to Erica, like, you're starting to get press. Is it, like, buckling up?
It's starting to get there. This is, like, the week. This is, like, the bigger week. Next week, of course, will be even more. You do most of your press after the special comes out now. You know, it's not like leading up to it. But I just found out that Robert has not been sent a copy of the special. So I don't know what the fuck we're going to talk about. But it'll be fun. He seems like a cool guy. And anyone who's willing to come in and sit and watch us do a podcast is cool with me. Speaking of which, Clusterfest. June 22nd, come see me, Erica, and Greg doing a little Justin Lincoln Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP. Junior Vice President.
Live at Clusterfest. I don't know where yet. We're somewhere on the 22nd. If you think I've got two stand-up sets to do, something else, it's unclear.
It's all on that one day, though. It's all on June 22nd. You got the stand-up. If you're a fan, then you can check out the podcast, too. And you can buy the tickets at clusterfest.com.
Yeah. Did you guys do anything fun this weekend?
I went on a bachelor party with the guys that you buried from my NFL podcast.
Which one of them is getting married? Who's the lucky
Chris,
guy?
Chris Wessling is getting married.
Okay, okay. Lakeisha, his wife, his fiance, was the very first to like one of my tweets on Easter. That was a borderline sexual assault joke, and I was thought it was very funny
borderline?
That she was like, "Yeah, you could read it as not being." Not being about assault, just like getting, like working hard to get that, what do you call it? What do you call it when you want to sleep with someone and they have to agree?
Consent.
Consent, yes. Maybe yeah. I just like worked hard
it's
to
like
get consent out of spite.
The first time this has come up in your lexicon.
When I tweeted, as soon as I hit send,
not
I was like,
you were worried about.
I was like, let's see. And then one of my friends like texted me, like a screenshot of the tweet and was like, great job. And I was like, oh, I'm in trouble. If someone texts me about it, I know that it's, I've struck a nerve. But Lakeisha was all about it. I was very excited for her Easter to be made better.
What did you do?
Went to a party. I was going to try to lay low on Saturday night and then just forgot I had been invited to a party. Like my friend just texted me. I was like, I'll be there in 15. I was like, shit. And went to a party. That's where I met the girl who kept talking about Milkman. Kept talking it up. I was surprised. I wish you should have been there. You could have talked to her about
get
it.
Get another recommendation station winner.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're keeping score.
You're killing me in recommendation station because I'm reading books that you're recommending that I can't recommend now. and everything I've recommended I think is too advanced for you. You are beating me in that. But yeah, I'm just very excited for the special to drop, up to my neck in the TV show. Things get started soon. So I'm very excited for all of those things. And again, for a lot of it to be over, because I'm exhausted. This waking up in the morning stuff, it's for the birds.
Wasn't it going to be for weeks and months?
Like another month or so, month and a half.
Do you find it awkward, like, when you're doing press, assume the next couple of weeks, like, do you struggle to talk about yourself? Like, and talk about your...
I can talk about myself forever. It's the only thing I can talk about. Like, yeah. Why would I struggle with that?
I don't know. I don't, like, even, like, Robert, you know, doing the feature on you was asking me questions about you today, and, like, I was more awkward and nervous, or not nervous, but just, like, not answering questions, in a normal way for that, because it's like about me and about our friendship and my our life. And I noticed that listening to this podcast, it like drives me crazy listening to this podcast, like listening to myself on this podcast because I'm talking about my life. And it's like incredibly awkward.
It's weird. There's a stalker aspect to the podcast that people get to hear things about us that we normally wouldn't tell them. You could find us if you wanted to because of this podcast, which is a little scary. This is actually the first profile done on me where they've like gotten quotes from other people. Mm. Like our friend Mike Valdez-Falli texted me today and was like, just talked to the guy from The Ringer. And I was just like, fuck. Like, I don't know what he said. Like, I have no idea. It's a little bit like, interesting to read to see like, because I've been interviewed for other people's profiles. And they always use like the most damning quote. Like it'll be me praising them for like 10 minutes. And I'll say one thing, like make one joke. And that's what they lead with. That,
right. Like I can't, like I was, one of the things was asking for a memory of like, you know, essentially something human that you did or nice or whatever. It's like, I can't remember anything. Like, can you think of anything?
How about any of the things I've done for your children?
Sure. You showed up at Walker's preschool at 9:15 in the morning for half an hour, all by yourself, surrounded by mostly churchgoers and stuff. So that's
Yeah, that's God love.
Putting a lot. You went to the aquarium with us.
That's true. That's true. I suffered through that. That was fun. I do human things at least once a day. I do something human. I don't think it should be that hard for you to figure it out. But yeah, it was a good week. I'm very excited for next Tuesday. I wish it was. Like, I watched Game of Thrones on Sunday with my friends, drank some wine. Hey, Stu, knock it off, all right?
Oh, no.
You had your vacation. I don't need you coughing on my podcast.
I mean, that wouldn't have showed up on the podcast, so now you're just publicly shaming.
I'll amplify it. You'll be able to hear it.
Yeah. But after I watched Game of Thrones, I just literally wanted to knock myself unconscious until next Sunday to watch the next episode. That's how I feel kind of about this week. I just want to get through it and get my special out there. I could not be more proud. It's my best thing I've ever done. Like, I had a meeting yesterday with the head of New Line Cinema, and he's like a big fan. He just kept talking about Thoughts and Prayers. And I was like, listen, if you like Thoughts and Prayers, wait until next week. You're going to be blown away. And he's like, it's better than Thoughts and Prayers. Like, he couldn't believe it. And I was like, it's so much better. And I listen again, Thoughts and Prayers is the greatest stand-up comedy special that anyone's ever seen. I think everyone agrees on that.
Yeah.
That Fire in the Maternity Ward is going to blow that out of the water.
What if people
drink as much water as you can before next Tuesday, because it's all going to be gone.
Got to get hydrated.
Mm-hmm.
What if people don't share this opinion, though?
What do you mean?
That it's
humorless
better.
People?
No, that it's better.
They think Thoughts and Prayers is better than...
Sure.
I'd be shocked. I mean, again, people always have their favorites. You know, it's like whatever you heard first might end up being your favorite. Like, I'm not going to argue with someone who loves Thoughts and Prayers, but this special is, once again, my masterpiece. And I cannot wait for people to see it and talk about it. Mm. It will be discussed at length by many.
You got to get it out before, like, while you're in your prime, because the youngins are coming up.
Name one.
Walker, my son.
You think your son's going to take on stand-up and knock me from my perch?
I had an epiphany last night that he's kind of like an insult comic. Like, he's always telling me he doesn't like me, which is pretty basic. But yesterday Ellis and him were, my daughter were cracking each other up telling this story about how for an entire dinner, Walker refused to say anything except for, I'm a bad guy.
And you're a bad guy?
He would say, I'm a bad guy. And so he'd be like, Walker, will you finish your hamburger? And be like, I'm a bad guy. It's time to go to bed. I'm a bad guy. And he just kept the bit going for like an hour straight.
That's a pretty good bit.
That's what I was saying. I was like, wouldn't a 4-year-old Anthony Jeselnik be doing something similar?
Probably.
And then laughing about it the next day.
If he became a stand-up comedian, would you be upset?
I'm a bad guy.
Are you now play-acting as your son without telling me?
No, I would love it. That would be a great...
You would want your child to be a stand-up comedian?
I mean, if he was into it. If he was passionate about it, sure. Took you a while to like get into something that you loved, but once you did, you were off and running.
That's true. But it was 22 years of trying to poison myself before I got there. I don't know if I would recommend anyone's child get into stand-up comedy, but if Walker does, I will put my arm around him and I will bring him through the ranks. He won't have to pay any dues. That's how much I'd love Walker. That was our week. Again, Thoughts and Prayers, April 30th. It's going to change your life. It's going to change everyone's life.
Fire in the maternity ward.
Fire in the maternity ward. Yeah. And now it's time for Did We Get Any Notes? Jesus Christ. What was that? What's that song called?
That one's called Say It Again.
Really? I shouldn't have said it once. We got notes this week. I got an email from Dara. We haven't heard from her in a while. And she was like, we haven't been in like the notes thing lately. Let's try some out. One was just saying, hey, you guys talk about Emeka a lot on the show, and you talk about each other's mothers who listen to the show. Any chance of them making a cameo in studio or on the phone? Maybe something tied to Mother's Day. I wonder if I don't think my mom would want to do that. I don't think she'd want to call into the podcast. I could see Debbie being into it for sure. So if Debbie's listening and she wants to be a part of that, we would let her. I know for a fact Emeka wants nothing to do with...
You wanted to do a show where she was the co-host, which we're not totally ruling out still.
That would be doable, but I think that she'd probably rather do that than just call in. and have us manipulate her in some way, I guess. Remember when we called?
She'd rather call in. It'd be, you know, much easier. Although,
easier, but last time we had Ellis call in, she wanted nothing to do with it. Your wife didn't want to talk.
Yeah. She did a great job.
I assume she didn't change her mind.
Episode 14 or so of the Rosenthal and Jeselnik Vanity Project.
RJVP. So that note, that I guess is a note, or more of a suggestion. I think they were opening lightly. And then they talked about how my ad read last week was a strong read, but then I completely undercut it by making fun of the seriousness of the issue, and please don't do that again. That's a good note. That's a note that I understand. I'm not a good ad reader. And then there's something about doing clips for Clusterfest. I don't know. I didn't read that far into the email. Those are the notes.
And it ends with, in case we don't tell you often enough, we genuinely look forward to listening to the show every Wednesday.
Yeah, of course I say that.
I mean, I've never had a job where the hires up compliment me as much as this job, because I'm just riding your coattails. Normal jobs, bosses don't say nice things like this.
Every meeting I have with Comedy Central is them telling me over and over again how big a fan they are. Same with Netflix.
It's a strange industry, though, because eventually they fire everyone. So it's like, tell you how great you are indefinitely, and then eventually just fire you.
But even if you don't believe them when they say, like, you're our favorite, you know, you still like to hear it. You know, comics just want love. So those were the notes we got. And I've got in addition to Clusterfest, the plug for Clusterfest Saturday, June 22nd, I've been talking for the last couple of weeks about how we have a renegotiation coming up, about how we had 40-episode contract.
One-week deadline, really.
Greg and I have the option to do another season if we want to. Comedy Central does not hold that power. And I said, do not let us get to single digits. This is episode 30. We got 10 left after this. I said, if we get to single digits, then I'm going to lose it every episode. Just start screaming. But yesterday...
Ooh.
Yesterday, Comedy Central came to the table.
Come to us.
They got in touch with my manager, and they're going to start discussing season two. So, as I told you guys, did you doubt me even for a second that this would happen? Did you think they would let me get to single digits and start losing my mind?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't think that, but I thought it was possible. I don't know. I'm still of the mind where I'm always not expecting the worst, but prepared for that scenario.
The worst being what? That we just get canceled and we never do it again?
Yeah.
No way.
Or at least not with Comedy Central that they I don't know, just didn't want to do the deal again. Sure.
No, not when I got this TV show brewing. They're at our mercy.
Hmm.
All right. We've got our knives to their throats.
I mean, I love that. I still don't buy. I don't know why. I mean, because this is a great thing. I mean, this is fun for you, I'm sure. But this is a beautiful thing that we get to do this after knowing each other for 20 plus years. And oh, by the way, it pays for preschool.
Yeah, but that's not my problem. Right. Just because you're bad with money, at your normal salary, doesn't mean I feel any responsibility.
I'm not bad with money. I'm in a one-income household working in sports media. I'm doing pretty goddamn well overall. But Comedy Central's helping out, that's for sure.
So it's either we do another season of this podcast or your wife gets a job. Is that what you're telling me?
Not that far off.
But thank you, Comedy Central, for not letting me lose it and doing what you should have done. Also, yesterday, Comedy Central sent me a bottle of tequila, a very nice bottle of tequila, to say congrats on the special, which I always appreciate. It's a classy move. You know, the comedy special is not on Comedy Central, but they still hooked it up. Mm. But it made my night more difficult than it would have been without that gift. I had different plans, and those plans were ruined by the tequila. But thank you, Comedy Central.
You could look at it as a gift or encouraging a problem.
Mm-hmm. As the best gifts do. I've never gotten a gift that didn't encourage a problem that I wasn't psyched about. Speaking of problems that we're psyched about, let's take it down to Eric's Corner. I don't know who listens to this music and like and for what purpose.
And why was this the week? By the way, your segues are getting better. Some real hosting skills.
They've always been great.
But why was this the music, Erica, that you're so excited about this week?
I just thought it's funny. Heavy metal. I mean, it's like it's episode
30.
And we have to just, you know, go big.
Do they have 29 in there? Like, how come
no,
you...
No, I don't know.
It's just 30.
Yeah. It's like 30th birthday. I don't know.
Okay. Well, so we got 10 more episodes left.
I can already hear my mom being like, I like that episode, but that music was awful.
That's your impression of your own mother. Like, your mom is a sweet woman, has a great voice. I don't know why you would make her sound like a shrew, which is what you do. But this is Erica's Corner. Erica, what do you think Greg's mom sounds like?
I think she probably sounds really sweet.
You never met her?
No.
Not that level yet, huh?
No.
You guys are just the casual dating?
You let people into your top five like within weeks. That you know, there's not that many people to climb over.
It was months.
Erica's still kind of working her way into the inner circle.
I
have a lot of
difficult.
Love, but you're not meeting family.
Listen, top five friends, Greg, Erica, Debbie, Greg's mom, Stu.
How about Robert Mays has got to make it now.
Robert's in there. Robert's in the top five. And Lakeisha. Lakeisha's in there. Thank you, Lakeisha.
Well, now I don't feel special. Okay.
It's still top five.
Yeah, I guess.
What's better than that? What's your corner?
Okay, well, we got a lot of emails and tweets about your Game of Thrones jingle. Remember, you're like, I don't know what it's stuck in my head for.
Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones.
Right, remember your...
Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones, yes.
That.
And a lot of people sent this to me and said that it sounds like Chocolate Rain.
Yep.
My brother sent it to me, and I listened
really?
To a second of it and was like, this is not it. But I keep getting it a lot, so convince me. Play me the part that you think is that jingle.
That build up, though. All right, here we go.
Chocolate rain. Some stay dry and others feel the pain. Chocolate rain.
Now
sing your Game of Thrones again.
Game of Thrones. Like, the beginning, I get it.
A baby born will die before the sin. Chocolate rain.
It's Game of Thrones.
Yeah, you do go down.
Game of Thrones. It's a jingle, not a song. This is not it. Erica's Corner was trying to convince me that it was, and I don't believe it.
Yeah.
Chocolate Rain can go screw. My jingle remains. And I wonder, I mean, there's only four episodes left of Game of Thrones. There's a chance they might use it. You know how, like, in the beginning of Game of Thrones, they go through, like, they have, like, the opening credits? I think maybe the last episode, they'll use my jingle.
Yeah.
What, they change their song every episode?
No,
Greg.
This week's episode was so
amazing. I haven't seen
amazing.
It. And The Wire changed it every season. It's possible.
Yeah, it was the same song, but just different dudes singing it. Sometimes a woman, maybe. I forget. But yeah, this episode was fantastic. But I was just mad the whole time I was watching it, being like, next week was when everything's going to go down. Like, let's let it go down.
Yeah.
I'm very excited for next week. Not a fan of the Arya sex scene.
Come on.
I was a bunch
she's
of people
about to
there.
Die.
I know. To me, she's still a child. I know the actress herself is like in her 20s and that the character is old enough, but she's been a little girl forever. They used a body double to make her extra sexy, which was weird.
They did?
They showed like a side, oh yeah, side boob, but the lighting was weird. Like, remember how Cersei slept with like the pirate guy last week? They just like show them like getting dressed afterwards, and that would have been cool with Arya. You know what I mean? Like, I would have rather seen Arya just getting dressed, being like, thank you for taking my virginity before we all die, rather than watching what I had to watch. And again, this is a pro Arya thing. My friends who I was watching it with, the guy was on my side. The girl was like, no, this is like, you're watching a woman open her flower to the world, which is how women describe losing their virginity.
Like that was a whole genre though of it's just times have changed. That mean Game of Thrones, obviously, I don't know when that takes place.
It takes place in the 60s.
I'm just saying, like, as recently as like the 1980s, like Billy Idol could have a hit song called Rock the Cradle of Love, where he's basically there was an entire genre of those songs of just like, I'm gonna fuck young women.
Yeah, I mean,
it was just like more socially.
I know we were going to be taking down Billy Idol on this podcast.
I mean, the song was called Rock the Cradle of Love. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, but I mean, there's songs like
the
She's Only 17, if you want to get
Beatles.
Into the winger of it all.
Oh, the Beatles has a song like that too. Yeah,
I think Winger's a little bit better than the Beatles. But there's been a lot of songs about underage girls, and they're all great. You know, they're all great. And that was Eric's Corner. Shine on, you crazy diamond. Greg, nice. Let's get to headlines.
We're starting with some hardcore news this week. We've mostly stayed away from politics, but this story really hits our sweet spot. A Donald Trump federal nominee to be on the Federal Reserve Board is getting some heat this week. His name is Stephen Moore for some articles that he wrote about women in sports and just women in general while he was a columnist for the National Review earlier this century, in the early aughts. The one part I'll read to you, he's written that women should be banned from refereeing, from announcing or beer vending at men's college basketball game. And he asked if there was any area of life where, quote, men can take a vacation from women.
Yeah, it's called the bathroom. That's what it's there for. I just love this quote because how misogynistic do you have to be to not want a woman to bring you a beer? You know what I mean? If you were like, I don't think women should be refereeing games. I don't think women should be announcers. Like, you're a misogynist. You're older. You're used to a certain thing. But to be like, no, I want a man to bring me a beer is like another level of misogyny I've never heard of. I've never heard anyone complain about a female beer vendor.
And he tried to pass it off. Just in a very short statement to CNN, who he used to work for, saying that this was a spoof. I have a sense of humor. I went back and read these awful articles. It's like that the National Review published. They are not spoofs in any way. Does this sound like a spoof? How outrageous is this? This year, they allowed a woman to ref a men's basketball game. Liberals celebrate this breakthrough as a triumph for gender equality. I see it as an obscenity. That's where he puts in the, is there no area in life where men can take a vacation? What's next? Women invited to bachelor parties? Women in combat? Oh, yeah, they've done that already.
Sounds like a spoof. Sounds like he's goofing around. Sounds like he's just joshing with his with the people who read his blog. You know, I would believe it. I can't imagine our president would put someone in office who was a misogynist. I can't even say the word because it's so ridiculous to think that he would do that.
He also suggested that women should ref women's games and men's should ref men's game, and then transitioned to that this is part of a bigger and more serious social problem in America, which is more generally the feminization of basketball.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause if I was playing basketball and there's a female referee, you're gonna play like a girl. You know what I mean? You're gonna be your granny shots. You're going to, the 3-point line, you won't even make sense to you?
He said while he was venting.
You can't dunk?
He said in playground games and rec leagues these days, women now feel free to play with the men, not invited in almost any case.
Who the fuck wants to play basketball with this guy? This guy is he married?
He is married, yes.
A lot of talk about his wife.
What?
Are there any other quotes in the article you want to
I mean, there was a few different ones. He really went into the women in tennis. He was very angry about that women, you know, and this is, again, 15, 16 years ago, was very upset about women in tennis complaining, saying if there's an injustice in tennis, it's that women like Martina Hingis and Monica Seles make millions of dollars a year, even though there's hundreds of men at the collegiate level who could beat them handily. Yet these men make nothing. I mean, at least he's like...
I mean, Seles should have given them some money for being able to beat them in a hypothetical situation. I wonder, do you think this guy's going to get passed through?
I feel like this is all a plus for his chances.
I feel like these are all from 15 years ago. Your blog's from 15 years ago. I don't think that's going to hurt you. I think he's going to get in.
No, but like reading them, you see like how just incredibly dumb and like poor a writer he is, which you would think would be like
sure. But think about our latest Supreme Court justice. Big Dog Brett Kavanaugh. Think about what a monster he looked like at that podium, like screaming about people trying to take him down. It was like the least judicial thing you'd ever hear in your life. And he got it the next day.
It's kind of fun, though, now that to think about it. Now, basically, because we're in the digital age, that basically every fucking terrible column or blog post or tweet that you write will come back to fucking get you at some point.
Not me. Not me. I'm good. And I feel like that all female sports are better than male sports. Like, would you rather watch the NFL or the Lingerie Football League, which is still a thing?
I mean, that the Lingerie Football League seems kind of sexist on its own.
No, I don't, not at all. I think they prefer to play that. I think it's more comfortable for them to play like that.
I mean, I am with you that right now the women's professional tennis is more interesting.
Way more interesting.
Than the men's.
Way more. The WNBA blows the NBA out of the water. It's not even close. You look at attendance numbers, WNBA is killing it.
Now you're sounding like a
women's
Stephen Moore.
Women's hockey league just went bankrupt, but those women now are going to be on the streets, and it's going to be even more dangerous. Remember Casey Jones from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? They're all going to be like that guy. Oh. Imagine like wanting to be like the most hardcore rocker of all time, and then your music ends up in the Comedy Central library. You played on podcasts. Like, this guy's dreams did not work out. Greg, what's your next headline?
A former UFC fighter was hit by a car and killed in Brazil after he got in an argument with a rideshare driver who did turn out to be working for Uber at the time. The fighter got out of the car, got into an argument. According to the police reports, the driver stopped the car, started driving away, but then turned around and ran this guy down from behind and killed him.
Yeah, I mean, at first I thought, when I read the thing, I thought UFC fighter tried to fight a car, which was funny. Because, you know, when you're a fighter, like at the UFC level, you know, the way that I am, then you just feel like you can take on anything, you know, and win. But then when I found out that the Uber driver drove away and waited until he had his back turned and then drove as fast as he could and killed him, I thought this is even better. This is like, do you think if you were an Uber driver, this would be your dream, is to kill a passenger?
I mean, it's definitely the best way to, if you have to kill a UFC fighter, I think hitting him from behind in a vehicle is probably the way to go.
For sure. For sure. They're not prepared for that at all.
Like, there doesn't matter how many rounds you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You're not coming back from
Yeah,
that.
And he didn't like hit the horn to try to get him to turn around. He must have turned off his headlights and just went right at him, which I think is every Uber driver's dream.
Well,
I've never gotten out of an Uber without just backing away slowly.
So you're in fear sometimes when you get out that maybe they'll pull this off.
Every single time I've been in an Uber, I've made them enraged.
The Uber did make a statement, which I enjoyed, which said they have let him go. No longer allowed to work for Uber.
It'd be bad if they're like, we knocked his rating down to 4 stars. Don't worry.
I don't know. What do you think he said to the Uber driver? You know what I mean? Like, they got into some sort of argument, and it was just verbal by the sound of it. There was no, like, altercation physically. But he got out of the car after some argument, and whatever he said apparently enraged the Uber driver.
I've got to imagine that the UFC fighter was like, hey, did you hear Justin Lux got a new special dropping on the 30th? It's called Fire in the Maternity, where I think it's going to be his best one yet. And the Uber driver was like, I think Thoughts and Prayers is unbeatable, that no matter what he comes out with, it's not going to be as good. And then it just escalates from there, you know?
That's worth killing a man over?
For sure. I mean, is it worth it? Like, I think it's his own reward, but it doesn't surprise me that someone died that day.
What if the last thing he said as he jumped out of the car was, "Bet you can't kill me."
Do you think he would have said that?
I don't know. I'm just trying here.
How much would he bet? Like, how much money would you give an Uber driver for trying to kill you?
I don't know. Not enough. Poor guy. I mean, the guy had a wife and kids, and you know.
Not anymore, Greg. Not anymore. And Erica, now it's time for
ad copy.
We've got an ad this week. Erica, I'm going to let you do the honors because I'm not professional enough.
All right. It can be a little frustrating, especially if you're in a hurry or running late, to find yourself at a railway crossing waiting for a train. And if the signals are going and the train's not even there yet, you can feel a bit tempted to try and sneak across the tracks. Well, don't. Ever. Trains are often going a lot faster than you expect them to be, and they can't stop, Anthony. Even if the engineer hits the brakes right away, it can take a train over a mile to stop. By that time, what used to be your car is just a crushed hunk of metal, and what used to be you, well, we better not think about that. The point is, you can't know how quickly the train will arrive. The train can't stop even if it sees you. The result is disaster. If the signals are on and the train is on its way, and you just need to remember one thing. Stop. Trains can't.
That was great. That was a great read. Do you think that the Uber driver from the last story can get a job driving trains?
Probably.
You really went up and down emotionally in that. You were looking us in the eyes. That was good. I've heard that read now on multiple podcasts. Erica takes the cake.
She's the best one.
Move over, Bill Simmons.
Yeah, move all the way over.
It's get off the tracks.
Get off the tracks, Bill. It's coming for you. That was a great read, and that was
ad copy.
Greg, what's our last headline?
Our last headline comes from the world of Erica Tamposi.
Were you about to say hump line?
Yeah, totally were.
I mean, it sort of fits. Danny Amendola went on a Instagram rant over the weekend, which Erica was, of course, following closely, because that's her favorite NFL player.
And why is he your favorite? Because of his temperament with women?
It must be. Mm-hmm. No, he's just really hot. He's not my favorite player.
And so he broke up with this girl, or they broke up, and then he found out she was like making out with some dude?
Apparently videos from Coachella this weekend, or the first weekend, posted where she was hanging out with Zed, the DJ. He's a Swedish DJ.
Mm. Are we supposed to know who Zed is?
Yeah, he has like a couple of big songs. Like, you wouldn't.
We didn't.
You don't listen to Top 40.
We're too old.
No.
Yeah. Stu didn't know him either.
Yeah, he did. Stu, you knew.
Stu does not know him.
Oh.
Stu doesn't know.
We're all too old for that.
Stu just got married at a zoo. I mean, he's not going to know what Zed is.
Damn.
It's shockingly precise there.
I think there's nothing weaker than talking trash on an ex. And especially publicly, where you rant about it. So we thought it'd be fun to have Erica read her favorite player's screed against his ex. It's quite long, but Erica's voice is melodious.
Mellifluous?
Melodious. Melodious is a word, right? Thank you.
I believe there should be a boundary, by the way. I think it's between private life and social media. Olivia believes in fishbowl lifestyle. This fundamental difference was huge in our relationship. If you're my real friend, you know I'm a private. My mother, brother, father, and nephew are closest to me in this world, and you don't see one picture of them, and that's for their protection from those who criticize and judge. I believe in nailing picture frames on the inside of my house to remind the ones I love that I care. Olivia chooses and wants to be noticed on the internet and in Hollywood to make money.
Wait, I'm going to stop you right there. Is he nails picture frames to the inside of his house?
I guess.
And he's bragging about this?
He's bragging about that because those are somehow more real than the Instagram photos. He doesn't like to be in public. He's private. That's why he's fucking posting all his thoughts about his ex-girlfriend on Instagram.
But are there people who nail picture frames to the outside of their house because they want to live in a fishbowl? Look at what my family looks like.
That was like the pre-internet era of like Olivia Culpo would be like that. Back in the 70s, she would just be posting pictures of her at the beach, like on the outside of her house.
Yeah, I could see it.
Which was hard for me to understand, but I quickly had to learn. Whereas the cost of fame in this world doesn't appeal to me, I play ball for one reason, and that's respect. The only reason I'm writing this post is because, whether I liked it or not, we lived in the public eye. Some of it is amazing. I've met some of the nicest people from all over the world, and Olivia and I had some amazing times together. Just like any other loving relationship, we fought. A lot of the time, it was my fault because, let's be honest, I can be an idiot. But, yup, she fucked up too. And if you cross me, I'm a hard MF-er to deal with. The universe brought her and I together to enjoy life, love, and learn. We celebrated that as often as we could. And the sex was fucking crazy too.
Wait, stop right there. He started the post by saying how he's a private guy. He's only posting, you know, picture frames inside his house. And he's now gotten to her being, what, like, at fault, and that the sex was wild.
And the sex was fucking crazy, too. She gets so mad at me for not posting her on social media, but I think this shit is sometimes fake, sometimes toxic, but sometimes beautiful. And I felt like she had enough pictures online anyway. Truth is, I have a whole cell phone of funny, embarrassing, sexy pics IG would love to have. However,
well, was that a threat?
Seems like it.
Seems like a brag.
However, living in a public image isn't my choice, but something I've learned to deal with. Reading all these wild stories about her and I and seeing Olivia with other men, I just wanted to personally clear the air out here. We've been on and off for a long time and not together as of late. Not sure what's in the future, but the only thing I care about is her happiness. And if, and if that's dancing with scrawny little fucks, so be it. I'm happy too. With that said, live my beautiful ex-GF. Providence's finest and Baker's Bay pancakes. Carry on, IG. And then he tagged her. And he also spelled scrawny, S-C-R-O-N-Y. Yeah. He's so dumb. So dumb.
Yeah, I mean, that took some wild twists and turns. I had not read that entire thing. I'm a very private person. A fuck like a horse. my girlfriend was great, but I thought she had enough pictures online. That she didn't need anymore, even though I've got pictures that are crazy. If you guys saw my pictures, oh my God, I'd have $1 billion because people would pay to see these pictures. But you know how, you know me, I'm a nail of the frame to the inside of my house kind of guy. I love my girlfriend forever. I wish her nothing but happiness, and I hope this post helps. Is he still your favorite player?
No.
I mean, I think one thing we learned from this interaction or these posts, because there were more. Was that Danny Amendola is not that bright.
Oh, my God. He's so dumb.
Is he the most embarrassing Patriot in history?
I mean, he's now a Detroit Lion.
Yeah, he's close.
But he was once. Can you think of any Patriots players that have been more embarrassing?
No.
Why? I can think of one.
Yeah, I mean, I can think of a few, but I know which one you're talking about.
Me too, but that's not embarrassing.
You don't think so?
Danny Amendola also published 2 apologies.
He did?
I think deleted both of them, or deleted at least one of them.
He deleted this big one.
He deleted the big one, but he also deleted an apology that he said, what I meant to say yesterday was the media and general public have no idea what goes on behind closed doors. I don't participate in fake intangibles that consume the public eye. That makes no sense at all. I'm a private single guy. If everyone's happy, I'm happy. Went to that again. It's fun seeing your name attached to clickbait headline story that is completely fabricated bullshit. So when I saw this love triangle gossip, I tried to clear the air, and I take blame for the miscommunication. Good vibes only from me. All love always.
All love always.
I mean, it's not a miscommunication when you put 700 words on Instagram.
But he tagged her, too. Like, imagine... Well, first of all, if you're... No offense to Miss Universe, but if you were dating him for this long, off and on, like, you know how dumb he is. Like,
sure.
You know. So if you see that, like, it's probably like, ah, shit, like, he saw me with Zed. Like,
I think if you're a former Miss Universe, then you're so smart that everyone seems stupid. You know what I mean? That it's like it's almost impossible to find someone at your level intellectually. But as long as they fuck like champs, and she takes it into consideration to start nailing picture frames on the inside of her house. I assume right now she lives in a treehouse, and it's filled with mementos on the outside.
He deleted that apology too, but not before Julian Edelman, his former teammate, responded, "Step away from the Instagram, man."
And then he posted
off the Instagram.
That's
man.
A good
he
friend.
Posted another one today of him like dancing. It was like, now that that's all over, like let's get on with our weekend or something like that. And Edelman commented on it again and was like, bro, I told you you're postponed.
Yeah, that's bad for Danny Amendola.
He's available. That would not really change. You would still get with Danny Amendola. Let's be real.
Yeah, I mean he's dumb, but
I mean, how dumb would someone have to be? If
podcast
you
listeners can't see your facial expression. Dumb, but
I mean they can figure it out.
Like if someone was like,
I don't need to go to
hot,
dinner with him.
If someone was super hot but illiterate, like literally illiterate, would you still have sleep with them?
Maybe.
What would they? What if like, what would they have? What would they have to do for them to be too dumb?
No, I could never. I could never
sleep with an illiterate person.
Yeah, like if you can't read, get out of here.
I mean, it's hard for
what
me.
What about like kill 4 separate people in like 2 different instances and leave gum at the scene of the crime?
Definitely would. Have you seen Aaron Hernandez? Mm.
Now? I mean, I think you missed your opportunity there. I think it's only okay to sleep with someone if they're illiterate, if they're just like, if they're young enough that it's below like a normal reading level. You know what I mean? If they're like,
wait. Break that down.
Like if someone's illiterate, okay, what's their excuse for being illiterate?
Okay.
Are they 4 years old?
Okay.
Right.
Got it.
Then they get a pass. You know what I mean? But if you're, let's say 12 and you can't read a word.
Most kids can read. Ellis is in first grade. Most kids can read in first grade.
Yeah, but like, I would like, would you sleep with Floyd Mayweather?
Yeah.
Think about the pause. What?
I mean, yeah.
Even though he can't read and he's almost certain to beat you afterwards.
Right, like the long history of domestic violence wouldn't scare you away?
Nope.
Like if you painted on your chest, please don't hit me after this is over.
Yeah.
He wouldn't know what it was.
He wouldn't be able to read it.
He wouldn't be able to read it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That would be a good, you know how sometimes girls get like tramp stamp tattoos on the back? If it just said, please don't hit me when this is over, I think that would be a really funny tramp stamp to have. There was one I saw online, the girl was like, my name is Sarah. And then she had one like upside down on her back that said, my name is Sarah. Uh-huh. So no matter which way you were taking her, you knew what her name was.
Yeah.
Which is pretty funny. I had a friend who had a tattoo on her back, or lower back, like a tramp stamp in Latin. And I was like, what does that mean in English? And she said,
how'd you see it?
It means she was wearing a shirt that, you know, showed off her
lower back.
Mm. It wasn't like hidden. But it meant in English, don't touch me.
Ooh.
And I thought that was great. That was a great tattoo. Mm. So I think the moral of the story is that Danny Amendola out, Floyd Money Mayweather in for Erica. And that was Headlines. It's time to take it down to
Choo-choo.
Recommendation station. I think we all know what I'm going to be doing here. You want me to go first?
Sure.
My boy, my friend, a friend that we've never actually met in person. I think we spoke once. We've definitely texted each other. I was on his last album called Pax. One of my favorite rappers, Your Old Droog. Kind of like an old school throwback New York rapper that I'm really into. Love his stuff. Dropped a surprise album on Friday. Didn't even tell me. Wasn't even like, hey man, what's up? I got this thing. I looked at his Twitter to like retweet something, and he didn't even have much on Twitter. So I'm going to talk it up on the podcast. His new album is called It's Your Old Droog, YOUROLDDROOG. It Wasn't Even Close is the name of the album. And produced by, I want to say I'm pronouncing this correctly, Mac Homie. Mock anybody? Mock Homie? I don't know. He's a cool new rapper. Yeah. Great album and short. And the final song I've been listening to on repeat called 90 on the Line. 90 like the number, 90 on the line. I quoted it up top in this podcast. We'll go back and listen to it. But one of my favorite hip-hop songs I've heard in quite some time. So congratulations to Your Old Droog. Everyone go out and check out this album. Stream it, buy it, listen to some songs. Some of it's on YouTube. It's definitely worth checking out. He's great, and he's only getting better.
Greg, I like him. He's kind of like, he very much reminds me of like a mix of some members of the Wu-Tang Clan. But, you know, updated.
Yeah, he's a new guy.
Ghostface and Inspect the Deck, like, combined. This album's great, though. I spun right through it yesterday. It was Safe for the Kids. It was great.
Yeah.
I'm going with Jenny Lewis's new album, On the Line. I have not done much music. Why are you sighing like that? You wanted me to just have a co-branding of Your Old Droog today.
Mm-hmm. Not Jenny Lewis. I don't want her competing with Your Old Droog.
I mean, you're not competing. I mean, they can listen.
Our listeners listen to Your Old Droog. They don't listen to Jenny Lewis.
They probably
listen. It sounds like a made-up name.
I think you have a lot in common with Jenny Lewis. Shout out to, people doing their best work in their 40s, still going strong. I was introduced to Jenny Lewis by my wife when she was a member of the band Rilo Kiley, who has a lot of great old stuff. But I like that her solo albums, I think, have gotten better as they've gone. Rabbit for Coats, a great one. The last one, Voyager. And then this one, I've been listening to it for about a month straight. It's just kind of like straight ahead, little 70s-ish rock songs. And she's like doing it. And she's like doing it better now than I think she was when she was in her 20s. That's something to be said for that.
I can't give you too much trash on this one. I was going through my calendar this week, and I saw that I don't know when I did this or how I did this, but I have a ticket to Bikini Kill on Friday night.
Just one?
Here at the Palladium. Yeah. I don't know if I'm going with a friend. A friend was like, get a ticket, or if I just bought one.
What does that have to do with giving me trash about Jenny Lewis?
Because they're similar. Jenny Lewis and Bikini Kill.
Very different music, but yeah. Been around a while.
Yeah. Older lady rockers.
Nice.
Is it?
And always delivers live. It is. She's great live.
You can take Erica to the concert?
If she wanted to.
Someone commented today.
People would go. I mean, Emeka would go to Jenny Lewis. Everyone loves Jenny Lewis. Give me a break.
I don't think I've ever heard one song.
Listen to this new album. It's pretty good. I don't know if it'd be for you.
Yeah. That's why I've been giving this look the whole time. Erica, do you have anything you want to recommend?
No, I think you would like it more than the usual... female singer.
Like, I listen. Okay, I was pro Mitski.
You got into Mitski.
I was anti Snail Mail, which she fell on one or the other.
She's neither. She's more. You would like her. Wasted Youth. Good tune off of this one. Lot. It's good.
Erica, do you have anything?
Yeah, but from that Mitski concert, someone commented on the photo of us today and tagged me and you in it and was like, Erica, you easily look older than Greg, by many years. And I think it was supposed to be a dig at you looking really young, but also made me look really old. But I looked at the photo and we like just both look 15. But the OA season 2, I binge watched the entire thing. No, I did the first season last week and I watched.
I mean, you don't have to say anything.
But this is so good. Season 2 of the OA is better than season 1. It was so good. I watched the entire show all day Saturday. Did not leave my couch to do the whole thing. It is so good. It is even better than season 1. It is so good.
What does OA stand for?
The Original Angel. So it's about like near-death experiences. And like right before you die, apparently like you can like travel to a different dimension. And so the scientist figures it out. So he keeps killing these like 5 people over and over and over again to try to figure it out. It is really kind of weird. If you can get past the weirdness of it, it's awesome.
Fiction or nonfiction?
It's true. It's a true story.
True story?
Yeah.
Okay. OA season 2. If you liked when Erica recommended OA season 1 a week ago.
I got a few tweets.
You're going to love OA season 2. I can't wait till next week when Erica... waste more time.
Right. We're covering bit different bases, though, that we've established that you have kind of a millennial fan base out there. So if you want like high quality, like mature, good shit, then listen to whatever Anthony and I recommend. And if you're like young and like other shit, then listen to Erica.
Okay. I think that is a very stupid comment.
If OA's on Netflix,
yeah,
then it doesn't matter. You got 7 days to watch OA seasons 1 and 2. Because once Fire in the Maternity Ward hits, Netflix is going to explode.
Right. Well, while you're waiting.
And you'll be like, I want to watch OA season 2. And they'll be like, did you mean Fire in the Maternity Ward? Because that's what you're getting.
Anthony, I think you would actually really like this show.
I've got billboards up in the city.
I can't wait.
Have you seen them yet?
Not yet.
Go to, I was talking to someone at a party. And I'm like, where do you live? And they're like, La Brea and Hollywood. And I was like, Monday morning, check out my billboard. And they're like, are you serious right now? And then walked away.
Wait, it's going to be on Hollywood and La Brea?
I don't know. We didn't get that far in the conversation. I was like, yep, I'm cool.
Wait, are you going to go by and check it out? Yeah, you would naturally go by there, wouldn't you?
Yeah, come on.
You would think that it would be really special to have a billboard. Like, you'd be like psyched.
They're the first billboards, if... like that you ever had, I'm sure, for Comedy Central, you went and checked them out.
I mean, I saw them if they were nearby. Like there was one on like Highland and Hollywood that I saw. I would see them, but I never like made a special pilgrimage to go look. I had a friend take pictures and send them to me, and I was like not interested. It seems really cool, and then you see it, and you're just like, oh. I mean, there's a billion billboards in L.A. and New York. What's three
cool.
more? It's cool. But I just don't care. You
if
think
Erica
I would care.
Was on a billboard, she would stretch that shit out into like 17 days of social media content.
Why?
You don't think?
No, there's a billboard.
People had different billboards.
I'd post one like
little
a meet.
Picture at the
I'd,
billboard,
yeah, I'd be under
things.
The billboard like, what's up?
Different
here's my billboard. And then that's it.
Yeah, I'm not even going to do that.
Well, you don't have Instagram. You got to get it.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
No, I've got a Netflix special. It's like Instagram.
Yeah, and everyone's going to be like, oh, I want to look at Anthony. He's so cute with his beard and the cinematography. Like, he looks so good in this new thing. And then people are going to want to see your thirst traps, which means, like, you know, here's Anthony looking cute today. Like, oh, on my way to the gym. Like, I want to see that.
I know you do.
I really do.
I mean, if you want, you can check out the videos old Stu's putting up on YouTube for Comedy Central. Check out that beard.
Yeah.
And check out my burgeoning beard 3 weeks in.
Yeah, I'm excited. I thought you were going to be shaved, clean shaven for sure.
I think
sure
I'm going to let week. This go.
Let it go.
Emeka does not like it, but I've never taken it this far.
Have you been trimming it at all or just letting it go?
Just a tiny bit. Yeah, once. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to end this podcast.
Please.
And next week when we come in here, we'll be talking about Fire in the Maternity Ward. It will have been out. I expect all of you guys to have seen it. And we'll go through it line by line.
Are you going to have a viewing party?
No.
Oh.
I'm going to go to dinner with some friends on after the podcast next week, and then put it to bed. I got to work on some new stuff.
Nice.
Yeah. But again, Tuesday, Fire in the Maternity Ward. And now it's time for...
Whoa, Nelly Furtado. That's a spicy meatball.
Good enough.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.